So at some point in your life, you may have sung that song. You know it. Sing it with me if you do. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, my two front teeth, my two front teeth. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Here's the punchline. So I can wish you Merry Christmas. Yes, indeed. So what do you want for Christmas this year? That's the question we ask, right? A lot this time of year as parents and grandparents try to figure out what to add to the list as children crawl up into the laps of Santa and malls everywhere, as spouses seek to please one another with that perfect gift. That's one version of the month of December, isn't it? Other versions may play out differently, with visions for some of loneliness and grief, of fear of missing out as we scroll through the beautiful family pics on Facebook, and in December, the highest rates of suicide of any other time of year. Those visions may be dancing in some of your heads. So what do you really want for Christmas this year? You won't get that question from John the Baptist in the Bible this morning. He shows up like a good street preacher. You've seen those street preachers down on Michigan Avenue, perhaps. He's kind of a wild man prophet and a truth teller. And he brings what Mark says is the beginning of the good news, that kind of good news that stops you literally in your tracks and makes you realize down deep in your gut, I'm doing it all wrong. Everything, really, if you think about it, the Cyber Mondays, which now have led into, is it Cyber Week this week I saw? The focus on the shiny family Christmas card, I'm guilty of that too. The search for gifts and the buying and of clothes for holiday parties and the baking. It's wrong, not because it's bad, of course. We need more bakers for December 8th, by the way, so I'm not saying that's bad. But it's wrong. And it leads us down the wrong path because we think that that warm, fuzzy feeling we may or may not get this time of year is actually the good news. We mistake it, right? I mean, it's fine, but it's not. It's kind of like comparing a Twinkie to one of those chocolate eclairs that you might get handmade in a French bakery and you're eating it there. You know, it's just not the same. And something's wrong with us when we feel satisfied with a Twinkie in place of a chocolate eclair made in France. Right? You get what I'm saying. I think most of us, if we have any faith at all in God, in humanity, are aware at some level that the dark side of this season of the year of Christmas, especially what we sometimes call cultural Christmas, is that it brings into sharp focus that we all year round get lured into spending more than we have at times, overdoing it on food and drink, comparing ourselves to others, and wanting what the culture or the commercials tell us to want instead of what God wants for us, for those we love, for strangers, for our world. So Advent begins with John the Baptist down in the River Jordan baptizing people, we read, for the repentance of sins. Because for different reasons, way back in the first century, people then knew that they were getting it wrong. And John pointed to Jesus, the grown-up Jesus, remember the one who ended up on the cross in this case. You won't find baby Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. What God wants, John shouts down to us, what Jesus wants is for us to change, to throw off the things that keep us from loving God, from loving our neighbor, from loving even ourselves. The word for that, of course, is sin. That's not a very popular word sometimes, even in church circles, believe it or not. But neither is John the Baptist. We pull him out twice a year, usually, this month, and then he'll reappear. Remember when Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan, and he rises up from the waters, and God, the Holy Spirit, says, with you I am well pleased, you are my beloved child. I've never seen a nativity scene with John the Baptist. Have you? No. But every year at the beginning of Advent, we hear his voice crying out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. If you're a fan of Godspell, like Austin and me and others, you can't help but hear that song as well. As a friend of mine likes to say, John the Baptist offers us a come to Jesus moment. John is one of those people who, if he showed up in church today, he would probably make us squirm. In fact, he might not even show up here. He'd probably be more likely to show up on a Friday night when we're welcoming others, who, some of whom might look a little bit like John the Baptist. He's loud and in your face, and he cuts to the chase. In the United Methodist Church, we call those come to Jesus moments justification. They are moments when we are convinced that a direction in our life is not faithful. It's not the right way to go. It's not the path God wants us to go on. And so we are called to go another way. This is grace, believe it or not, because it is then that we see most clearly not what we want, but what God wants for us and for the world. Grace is what comes when we see ourselves as God does, free from that sin that can cling to us so closely. Barbara Brown Taylor, Episcopal priest, professor, and author, says that sin is our only hope. And what she means by that is that when we know we're going down a path we shouldn't be going down, and I'm not talking about sort of moralistic sin, I'm talking about that which keeps us from knowing we are loved and from loving others. When we are convicted of that kind of separation from God, it is actually hopeful. John the Baptist might say even, change or die. I know that when we hear, for instance, my third grader came home this week and she had watched some videos about climate change at school, and she was filled with some fear, and we talked about how we can do something about it. And so she, in a way, was convicted and led to think about change. And so it is true that only when we turn and repent from things like that, when we turn away from the way our prejudice perhaps contributed to folks like Kathy's brother dying from AIDS some years ago, can we do something about it, right, and change. Only when we realize, perhaps in our own personal lives, how our actions contribute to a difficult relationship, whether it be in our family or our workplace, can we do something about it and change. Sometimes it is only when we hit rock bottom do we have that power to change. That's when grace really kicks in. And sometimes only when we see clearly how the voices around us, the voices of culture, especially this time of year, can lure us away from the voice of God. Remember that voice, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Only then can we truly be changed. And only then can we want not what we want, but what God wants. Thy will be done, we pray every Sunday, right? Only then can we have reason to hope. Thursday night, I took my older daughter, along with a few other folks from Trinity, to the Interfaith Youth Thanksgiving Dinner here in Mount Prospect at the Turkish American Society. And I would like to tell you that I went because I wanted to do the right thing, or maybe I could tell you I've developed this really rich interfaith relationship with folks, with that community, but that would not be exactly true. I will confess that I'd much rather have stayed in that night. It was a cold night, but I didn't. And I went because I felt convicted and convinced that our world, including myself, are kind of caught up in this division among people who are different from one another, this division and distrust even. And I do not believe that that is what God wants for me, for you, and for our world. And so I went because there was this voice in my head and crying out in the wilderness saying, get up off the couch, shovel your way to the car, and make it happen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent and change. And so I sat around a table with four Christians and six Muslims. Two of the Christians were teenagers, and five of the Muslims were in their 20s and 30s, which feels a lot younger to me these days. And we were asked to share our favorite holiday foods, and I shared my Nana's sweet potato casserole, and the man next to me had pictures of this Turkish dish he had made. He was on his phone, and we were passing it around, and another shared from their Syrian heritage and where we were from and about our family. And there was hope. There was hope. So what do you want for Christmas this year? By the grace of God, I know I want what God wants. Hope, peace, joy, love, and light. And the words of that song we sang earlier in the service keep ringing in my heart. This year, let the day arrive when Christmas comes for everyone, everyone alive. May God give us the grace to prepare the way for that to happen in our hearts and in our world. Amen.